What's up, Nick Nation? Salute, salute, salute. It's IBX Sports Jedi Kev, the Don of the Watch Along, here on the Return of the Knicks podcast. Yes, we're back after a week off, a little bit of some maintenance being done on the channel and at home and etc. We are ready to talk about a historic night. I missed everyone on the Watch Alongs, by the way. You know, we missed the Celtics game and the Utah Jazz game. And but we also missed last night's historic game by our main guy. The Knicks got their him, and his name is Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, the first Knick, or the first player since the NBA merger to have these following stats: 50 plus games, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 steals. Yo, Brunson had a historical night out there in the desert. He was the total eclipse of the suns. I normally don't do those cheap puns, but you know what? I had to. I couldn't resist. But salute everyone watching along with us on all the different platforms that we are. We are now in the Instagram live business. So salute everyone watching us on the Instagram live, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Trivial, and the Rumble app. Salute to everyone, man. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about him. Yes, Jalen Brunson is him. What a night. The Knicks scored 139 points against the Phoenix Suns. They wanted to debut their big three. And boy, what a phenomenal showing. Shakedown family, as we acknowledge the chat. Happy holidays to everyone as well. Shakedown family, salute to you, man. Good to see you. Great to see you. We always love when we do something Knicks related. Our Knicks family, our Sports Jedi family comes in and always supports, and that always warms my heart, especially each and every time we do a video. So I appreciate your likes, appreciate your support, appreciate the sharing of the program. Really, really, really appreciate it. So let's get right into it. The Knicks, all in all, phenomenal job. But before we give Jalen Brunson all our flowers, what a block by Hartenstein against Devin Booker in that fourth quarter. Holy moly. I mean, my God, Hartenstein. I know Mitchell Robinson went down. I had a video about Mitchell Robinson's injury. I didn't think I was able to upload it on my YouTube page, but it's on all the other platforms. I'll get it on the YouTube page, but it's a little bit old news, but I'll put it up there. The impact of Mitchell Robinson with the ankle surgery. We also, Taj Gibson now returns to the fold, signing a one-year veteran minimum with the Knicks. I like to see that Jericho Sims immediately got the starting role. So I haven't been on to talk about that. I like Jericho Sims. We have to find out what we have at Jericho Sims. You know, now this is what, the third year of Jericho Sims on the Knicks roster. Now we have to find out if he is a serviceable backup center for this team, because I don't know if they could keep Hartenstein the way he's playing under contract with Mitchell Robinson. Although I think Hartenstein loves being a Knick, but you know what? Money talks, opportunities and situation, you know, they take a walk as well. So we don't know how long Hartenstein is going to stay in that backup role with the Knicks. And Mitchell Robinson, when he has, and I hate to say it, I love Mitchell Robinson, aka the Cookie Monster. He is injury prone. There's always something, a setback, not a fault of his, but at the end of the day, his body seems to break down and he's only getting older. So my point is, you really need a development of a Jericho Sims to find out what do you have, how reliable is he, and is he maturing or is he progressing in an NBA to stay on an NBA roster. So you have to definitely find out what's going on with what we have in Jericho Sims moving forward. I know Mr. Vernon always gives him his flowers. Mr. Vernon Hagman always wants to see Jericho Sims in the game. And you know what? He's going to have an opportunity here for the next 4 to 6 weeks to prove to the Knick brass that they could rely on Jericho Sims on being part of this team, at least a 10th man off the bench, a break, but don't, you know, in case of emergency type of center to come in there. I'm excited to see what Jericho Sims has the opportunity. But let's talk about a little more of last night's game. My God, to be 9 of 9 from 3-point land for Jalen Brunson, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal feast. The Knicks as a team shot 58.8%, almost 60% on the road too, unheard of. So for a team, you know, especially for our Knicks. That there might be some teams there that you say, Jedi, you know, there's some teams that did shoot close to 60%. For our Knicks, we're not used to them almost close to 60% for a whole game. They had 49 of 82 field goal percentage. They were 17 of 29 from three-point land. That's 58.6%. NBA league average, if you're shooting over 34%, that's considered to have a good three-point shooting. You're shooting almost double that, you know, just underneath the threshold of double of what the league NBA averages. That's phenomenal night. Phenomenal night on the three-point line. They were also hitting their free throws. They were 24 or 28 from the line. That's 85.7%. They out-rebound the Suns 38 to 33. And, of course, even without Mitchell Robinson, that's a good job, a testament of Hartenstein and Jericho Sims and Julius Randle on the boards. I thought Julius Randle was attacking the basket. And we'll get to Julius Randle in a moment because I want to give him a big commend, a flower, and I kind of chuckled at the end of the game. Of course, they had 28 assists for the Knicks, 5 blocks, 9 steals. So all in all, a wonderful, wonderful, phenomenal effort as a team collectively. And now we go into the individual stats here with Randle with 23.6 assists, 8 rebounds. What gets quiet here with of course, rightfully so, with Brunson's career night was Julius Randle was shy of hitting a triple-double himself. So you almost had two Knicks get into triple-double, not only triple-double, quadruple-double. In the case of a Brunson, he had 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 steals. You know, and third, of course, you had 50 points. You could tell that triple-double, my goodness. I mean, the Knicks were on fire, 39 points against the Young and Fun's Phoenix Suns. I mean, Jose Melo, saludo. Tommy, salute. And we get right into Julius Randle. I know. I just gave him his flowers near triple-double. I love what he did at the end of the game. He secured the basketball, although he took it out of Richie Diakono's hands, say he didn't trust Richie Diakono. Didn't you know they were college teammates? Richie Diakono was not going to let go of that ball for no one. But you know what? I love that Randle kind of trolled the Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks holding that basketball. He held it above his head high, and he made sure he gave it to Jalen Brunson in his hands. That was me. I'm a big wrestling dork. And I just like that troll job or that storyline there, and that rib, like they call it in the wrestling business. And they went right into on the Pacers, gave the ball, rightfully so, for Jalen Brunson. My question tonight or this afternoon when we're doing this watch-along, or not tonight we'll do the watch-along, but this podcast here to all Knick fans, Knick Nation, we have the him. And are we ready? I don't think just yet. Jalen Brunson, is he a megastar? My question, he's a superstar. I know, and then I go, wait a minute, hold on, pump your brakes, hold your horses. This is the problem with Knicks fans and yada, yada. I can hear that. I can hear people screaming on the other side of their computers, phones, tablets, saying, you know, you're typical Knicks fan overreacting. But the question I ask this here, why I ask this question, helps the Knicks transcend and take them to levels that maybe because we have been dismal for over 20 plus years, having him come over has elevated the team. That's what a megastar does. He helps the team around him elevate. Now, how did he elevate and help the Knicks grow? Because now they're winning. They're more consistent. Now you have a Randle doing his thing, getting near triple doubles, but the focus is not, he's playing the role that he belongs. Second to third fiddle. And you know what? There's no dissension. There's no ego steps because Brunson is doing his thing consistently night in, night out since he put on the New York Knicks uniform. That's those are characteristics, in my opinion, of a mega star in the NBA. I want like to see him, of course, be the starting point guard in the NBA, but you could see the narrative or the bias of the NBA, either media, pundits, talking heads, whatever you want to call, pushing Halliburton ahead of Brunson. Brunson and even Pablo Banchero pushing ahead of Jalen Brunson. Brunson, what he's doing is he's doing it in the world's biggest media market, where if you don't wipe your rear end correctly, you're being criticized. because you didn't wipe front to back. Brunson is doing this night in, night out with all the pressure, expectation, and a ravage fan base and producing. And again, I'm not taking away what Halliburton or Banchero has done in the league or what they're doing night in, night out. But Brunson is doing this in all the different circumstances in a team that has not won in over half a century. I have to ask that question. Is Jalen Brunson on the cusp, on the breakout of being a megastar in the league? You know, and I had that conversation with Chef Dan, and I had with Terrence backstage. We were asking about who is megastar, because again, Knicks are being linked to so many names to be traded for. We hear the names year after year after year. The Zion Williamson, the Donovan Mitchell, the Joel Embiid, the Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Devin Booker, Paul George, you know, you Luka Doncic. You hear that with all those names. Karl-Anthony Towns. And I was asking, and I know the narrative on the NBA pundits, every time the Knicks lose two in a row, they don't have a superstar. They don't have a superstar. They don't have a megastar. We need to trade for one. Can we wait and have our superstar develop into a megastar in the form of Jalen Brunson? And then we have the superstars follow Jalen Brunson's lead, like a Julius Randle, who is a two-time All-Star, by the way. And everyone knows, Jedi, but why are you talking on the side of your mouth? You dislike Randle. And I'm not a big Randle fan, but I've given him his credit, his flowers, and his respect. That, you know, he's a two-time All-Star, and I am enjoying actually Julius Randle this season more than other seasons. So far, it's only been a quarter of the season right now. Only a quarter of the NBA season has gone by. I am enjoying what am I seeing with Julius Randle, because not only is he scoring not much isolation basketball, but he's also getting high assist numbers. The rebounding with Julius Randle is going to be there, but I am enjoying that he is actually getting high assist totals, averaging around 4 to 5 assists a game. That's like being involved in the offense, being involved with your teammates. And to me, that gets me excited and appreciate Julius Randle's game. And I know, you know, and it even changed my mind. I don't want Zion Williamson. I was a big Zion Williamson mark, like WWE, like the wrestling mark. I was a big Zion mark. And to see what Zion is explosive, energetic. He's got a potential, but there's also a lot of baggage. So I'd rather have the devil I know for the devil I don't know in Zion. As a Knick, and listen, Knick fans, I know you say, well, you don't want to trade for no one. No, I do want to trade for the right player. It's tough gamble, because if we don't get the right trade or the right player in here, we're just going to go back and set ourselves back again. And it's been it's been a long time that we even sniffed an Eastern Conference final. You know, yes, granted, I'm thankful, appreciative that this team took us to a second round last season, made the early spring very exciting for us. They brought us some joys, yes, and we were let down against the Miami Heat series. We talked about it, nauseating with what happened, who could have been healthy, X, Y, Z, but they gave us that excitement looking back. Now we want to see them excel now to the Eastern Conference on the verge of the NBA Finals. We want to see that growth. Does these players that we're talking about bring us there? Because guess what? We're going to have to lose some of these players that help us get to the second round. Do they have enough of a megastar effect to take us to that next leap, that next plateau of level of excellence? Or are they just going to diminish the other foundation of the organ of the team to drop us back now, and you're rebuilding again? As a Knicks fan for so many years, it gives me agita, worried, or concern. I don't want to take those steps back again. I've done it so many times. I don't know if I could be patient enough to want to make a move just to make a move to appease a fan base, because they make a trade. You have to make the right trade, ladies and gentlemen. In my opinion, and I wish I had a crystal ball. I wish I could use my Jedi mind tricks to tell you which is the right trade that's going to work in New York. Who doesn't have that moxie? I don't know. Those names out there. ask yourself realistically, Knicks fans. I'm asking you guys, who is the megastar? Who is the megastar in your opinion, NBA? And I was putting a list of megastars with the guys in the back in the green room, off the air, off camera, as we say. Wombat, salute to you, man. Thank you for joining us. Every team who took the next step drafted a superstar or signed one in free agent. No one trade for one. You're absolutely correct. And I think, I highlighted that because Jalen Brunson was our, that's the one piece as a free agent. We're seeing in front of us, that's why I wanted to do this video too, was Jalen Brunson is that free agent superstar that now is ascending to maybe megastar level. And he's not there yet, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to pump the brakes, but all the characteristics and the trajectory of Jalen Brunson is showing us megastar. He's showing us because he's consistent. He doesn't disappear. He's night in, night out. And one thing he is doing that we're not even talking about, he gets in front of the charging centers, forwards, guards, and he draws the charges. He's also doing it on a defensive end. And that was a narrative. Oh, Jalen Brunson is atrocious defensively. Oh, you have a liability defensively. Well, when you lead the league in charges and you have five steals and you're aggressive, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. He's taking his game to another level and becoming a complete player right in front of us in New York. He's unlocked something either with his dad at the sideline along with Coach Thibodeau in that system. Something is unlocked with Jalen Brunson that he himself, and of course, kudos to Jalen taking his game to another level and also putting in the work. He has also unlocked himself and taken his game to such another level height that I don't think the Dallas Mavericks scouting department, coaching staff didn't see that. They didn't appreciate, they didn't see it. Maybe they were too blinded with the Luka Doncic shine and I don't know, whatever that is. Their loss is our gain. And for Jalen Brunson, I got to ask you, and other than the others, honestly, who's the other megastars in the NBA? You could say a LeBron James, but he's on his way out. He is, just put it this way. I'm not talking about what they did before, years ago. We're talking about, let's talk about currently right now in the NBA landscape. Who is this megastar that's going to help the Knicks transcend? Not take a step back. Transcend, that will carry the deficiencies if we have to include whatever the names are on the current roster to bring them in here on a trade. I'm going to dabble there. I'm going to listen. I'm going to play the game with you guys with that move. To me, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a megastar, but he's not being moved. I said LeBron James was a megastar, and there's not that many. I personally don't think, and I know the names, and I'm going to go with the names linked to the Knicks so much that everyone, and you see half of the fan base salivating, and I ask myself, why are we salivating for these players where they're really not going to improve the club? We're going to probably be in the same area that we went to. We're just going to have to take a different detour. We're going to get to the same destination, same time, but we're probably going to take a different scenic route. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, they're not megastars. They're not going to help this team take it them to another level. You could agree or disagree with me. I think they'll make us play a little different from what they're currently playing right now. But at the end of the day, they'll still get to the same GPS, which is second round. Maybe possibly, if things break right, maybe a conference final, maybe. But I think a second round, even a first round, because they don't have that time to gel. Another name that's keen, I'm going to go with Zion Williamson. I wanted Zion so deeply bad. I've been doing this podcast on YouTube for over 3 years now. And I was one of them say, I want Zion. I think now I'm kind of reserved the right not to want Zion Williamson. He is not showing that he, and I don't know, and I don't care if you want to tell me it's because he's playing in Louisiana with the Pelicans, New Orleans, this and all the yada yada situation. He's got to show us, you know what? Make it so, go out there and be a beast. Play where your play is so much powerful that you want to leave. You know what? One of the, and I'm going to put, and you know what? I'm going to put Zion Williamson in this category of three. Of, he reminds me of certain players. He reminds me of Derek Coleman. A lot of potential, a lot of upside, but Derek Coleman never lived up to his potential fully as being a megastar with all that talent that Derek Coleman had. Derek Coleman, if you look him up, he was around 6'11". He could play the power forward, the center position, hit the three. He was very elusive, very quick, and he did not live up to his potential. Also, for I see Zion, a lot of Derek Coleman references there. Sean Kemp, I could see that as well. I'm trying to think of other players that I had with for a Zion. He doesn't transcend. He needs to. Dwight Howard. I see a little Dwight Howard with Zion, not because of the height. It's that Dwight Howard, he has to go in that route. Dwight forced himself out of Orlando because he outplayed himself. But then when he left the Orlando Magics, he was just a middle, or just another center. Didn't really transform back to that all-star level. I think Zion should have done the Dwight Howard route, become that megastar for the Magics, and then leave, and then he had his choice of destination. Zion, if he really wanted to leave New Orleans, he should have put the work in to go and pick his place. But so Zion is out for me. One of the megastars that, and I'm glad you guys mentioned is Steven. Steven felt like I was going to get to, I wanted to leave it like a main event. I've told Chef Dan, and I'm going to go on record here, that I think Curry is going to get traded to the Knicks. Don't ask me what I know. I have a feeling. Usually I get those things kind of correctly. When I have that intuition and feeling, I kind of have a feeling that Curry, looking at the tea leaves, looking at what's going on in Golden State with Draymond Green, they're talking about, you know, remember, the Golden State Warriors have a massive luxury tax bill. Their luxury tax bill is massive. I don't know if they could sustain it, especially if their team has no NBA final aspirations, with Draymond Green being suspended for indefinitely. And he's like on his way to being done for the year, or the commissioner just telling him, you know, you're done for the year with another antics. That destroys chemistry, rhythm. I could see where Curry gets moved this season in the trading deadline to the Knicks, where it's going to be a shocking moment. We know the Knicks and the Golden State Warriors have had good relationships many years in the past. It wouldn't surprise me. That's a megastar. Now, who's involved? I couldn't tell you who's going to be moved, what or where, what, who Golden State wants to build around, who they eye there. The Knicks got a lot of draft picks, a lot of draft capital. I don't know what their game plan is. And also, Bob Myers working a lot with the Knicks. By the way, the Knicks have not named the general manager. Scott Perry, no longer part of the general manager situation. We know that is Leon is team president. Worldwide Rest is like a right-hand man. Bob Myers will make a perfect general manager. I'm not saying they're going to do it now. I just see a lot of things in the air there with Bob Myers doing a lot of NSG stuff or working with the Knicks, a lot of stuff. I see a lot of there. That's why I kind of have a funny feeling. I'm seeing it. I think Curry will become a Knick. I think that's the megastar along with Jalen Brunson. I don't know who's going to be involved with Barrett, Randall, Grimes. I don't know. I don't know what's the apple of the Golden State Warriors' eyes, because I don't know how they want to build. I don't know if they want to build where they're going to tank and try to get way under the luxury tax cost to first alleviate that tax bill and start making some money. I know they're going to take a couple step backs, but with the NBA, if you're luck of the draw, the ping pongs, you could get right back into it. My hot take for this year, I think Curry is going to be a Knick, and that's a transcending player. I thought Booker wasn't a megastar. I think Booker, I know the names Booker was mentioned a lot. Devin Booker is as an all-star. I don't know if he's a megastar. I don't know, because here's another thing, and I was saying that also to the guys when we were talking, having this conversation so we can make a topic about it, was I don't know if Devin Booker transcends that. What worries me about Booker is the extracurricular stuff with the Kardashians, where, you know, and who is he dating, who is he not dating, the off-the-field drama. I can't worry about that. I got to worry about people that want to play basketball. That's my worried about Booker I know, you know, with Durant, Beal, by the way, who went down with a nasty turn on his ankle, roll on his ankle, on his own foot, by the way, wasn't on Diaka, it wasn't on DiVincenzo. It looked like he rolled on his own foot, but that's another story for the day. But my question is, I think it's going to be Curry. I was also thinking of a name, but he's not going to be moved. This is more of an outside the box wish list. And the thing is, I don't know if he's a megastar, folks, because you don't watch this player night in, night out to appreciate him. Is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't know to appreciate him in Oklahoma. If, you know, they're always a pretty decent team. Maybe, you know, sometimes out of sight, out of mind, you don't appreciate them. I don't know if it's going to cost a Curry ransom, or maybe it might because he's younger, to bring SGA to the Knicks. That's another player along with Brunson will be interesting. I know everyone wants the wings, and I'm going to go to the wings right now. The OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, they're good players, but they're not mega star players to help the Knicks ascend. One thing I do like about those two other players that I just mentioned from the Raptors, they have height and length, but I don't know if they could get in night in, night out with their offense consistency to help the team carry to that next level where you have an SGH, a Curry, who could help the team ascend to that other level on offense when your other stars or your players don't have it that night. You could rely on a Curry to go in and take over a game and get other teammates involved, draw the double team. I don't know if Ogunobi or Piakam is that level. That was another name that we're hearing a lot of Knicks Twitter salivate over or want. I ask about Karl-Anthony Towns. He is not a megastar. He'll work well alongside so and so and so. If he was a megastar, the Minnesota Timberwolves will be night in, since his extension to the league will be night in year after year in one of those top echelons of the Western Conference. You would have not gotten a couple coaches canned or fired. And I understand that comes with maturity, development, and et cetera. But I don't know if I'm going to – I personally will not want Karl-Anthony Towns. If I want a center who's going to be a transcending center, you have two of them in this league. Actually, I don't know, depending how you want to say Antetokounmpo, but I'm going to say Nurkic, which you know he's not leaving Denver, and Embiid, who was possibly named floated to the Knicks. I don't think that's happening neither. They just gave their general manager a contract extension. He's staying. So I look like they're going to keep building there for Embiid. That ship has sailed. Once I saw the general manager gets that contract extension for the 76ers, I said, you know what? That Embiid is staying. I don't see him departing from there on that league. Another player that I think who's that mega star is the two guys from Boston. I hate the Celtics. I'm going to tell you that, you know, anything Boston, ugh. You know, just because of the rivalries of the Yankee, Red Sox. Not, you know, I'm pretty sure Boston's a beautiful city. You know, I want to go enjoy their cuisines and all that good stuff. But I'm talking about as sport rivals. So don't get me, you know, before I get the Bostonites get really upset with me and come after me. But it's just the rivalry of the sports teams. I don't like your sports teams. That's what I want to clarify it. I think Brown and Tatum are those type of guys. They are a mega stars because they keep bringing Boston in that. I think they're not getting traded or moved to New York. Those are the type of players there, guys. I don't know who else. If you guys think of anyone else who you think is a megastar, put it in the chat or if you're listening, watching this video later on, put it in the video. We can always have that nice debate on it. I want to hear why we want to give up a lot of the farm for these players that are just all stars. You need, if the Knicks, and I personally am, and I'm at that point, if we're going to make a move, it has to be for the megastar. Curry's the one megastar out there that really stops me and say, you know what, I got to think about trading some of the farm, majority of the farm, our cap value to get, or a draft stack to get. I know he's older. I know it's a Pajetta. He is 34, 35 years old. I mean, how much you going to have 3 years of him? I think the Knicks have a 3-year window, personally. You know, Tom Thibodeau is coaching. This is, you could say Tom Thibodeau is coaching on his final year. He has another year on his deal, but they're going to have to make a decision if they're going to extend Thibodeau or they're going to bring in another head coach. This is a big year for us Knicks fans and Knicks organization wise. And right now we're having fun. They're 14-10. This is, you know, 25 games in, they're fun. This is a fun team. They're not a perfect team, no, but they're a fun team. They're moving the, you know, and I know I'm a little bit all over the place, but watching that game against the Utah Jazz, even though they you see sometimes their lapse of offense at times, some of their warts that have happened during the, as a Knicks fan watching them night in, night out, came up, you know, the lack of offense for a spurt of a time of, you know, a long period of time, but they were moving. They're playing a different. They have those offensive deficiencies at times, but they're also playing a little different style of basketball. I know it sounds like a little bit of an oxymoron there, but they're cutting to the, like last night, they're cutting to the basket. How many times I saw the bounce passes cutting from Hartenstein to Hart, or you know, the cuts, the motion basketball, backdoor cuts, bounce pass. They weren't doing that a lot in years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. They were relying a lot. Yes, they shot a lot of threes, and they were hitting the threes last night. But they're doing the other situations, the other basketball one-on-one that leads to winning basketball. And I am enjoying RJ Barrett yesterday. I mean, driving to the basket, sharing the ball. I really enjoy that. That's basketball. You know, if you're going to play like that night in, night out, that's entertaining basketball, in my opinion. It's going to lead to a lot of winning games. You're going to be over 500. And that's what the Knicks are showing us. They're going to be an over 500 team. Now, with the Eastern Conference, I don't know if that's going to be a 6 seed, a 4 seed, a 3 seed. Only time will tell at 25 games here. There's teams that are playing above and beyond expectation, like the Orlando Magics. You know, I think they're a little bit above expectation of what they're supposed to be at. Kudos to them. Don't apologize on winning these games if teams are laying down for you or not giving their best. Go out there and taking you lightly because you were bottom dwellers years past. Go out there and beat those teams. If they don't respect you, you go and you earn the respect. You punch them in the mouth. And that's what the Magics are doing. That's the East is going to be really tight. The East is going to be a really tight division. It's going to be interesting to see what the trading deadline is going to bring. We have a lot. We got about, 8 weeks? No more. A little more over like 10. Let's say 12 weeks, just for argument's sake, before the trading deadline. A lot of rumors. A lot of rumors are going to be brought up because a lot of the players with that salary restriction that cannot be traded by a certain amount of dates are lifted. You know, some of the new signings. So that's why the rumors get intensified. But I don't think anyone's going to make a real move until February, ladies and gentlemen. All this is going to be to entertain us, to get us going. But don't be surprised, again, keep an eye on the Golden State Warriors situation, in my opinion. Just have a feeling. Let's go back to Brunson here. They play tonight. Join us tonight. I'm going to go back on the watch-along tonight at 10:30. We're definitely going to do the Clippers-Knicks game. I definitely want to get back on the horse there with the watch-alongs there. To see how Brunson this is a back-to-back. Knicks have done very well on back-to-backs, but this is a back-to-back traveling. I know it's not a long of a flight from Los Angeles to Phoenix. I want to see how they're going to respond on a back-to-back after scoring 139 points. I want to see how they go up against the Clippers. George is questionable, game-time decision, so he might play right now, looking at the scouting report. Of course, no Mitchell Robinson. Taj Gibson got in the game yesterday. Good to see Taj get a couple minutes in the game, get his feet acclimated on the court. I cannot wait to see what happens with this team. But I wanted to thank you guys for allowing me to give me 30 minutes of your time we're here with this podcast, give you my thoughts of Jalen Brunson, my thoughts on the megastar. And the question is still out there. I want you to hear, give me some feedback on the question. Please share this video. We're going to have this pretty soon. If you know someone who missed it, we're going to have it on the audio platform in about an hour from now. We'll have it on the Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you get your audio platform. And of course, we want to say thank you for everyone that's watching us for the first time there on the Instagram Live. So we're live on Instagram. We thank you guys. We thank you on the Twitter, Trivia, Rumble, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook page and Facebook group. So join us. Be part of the Sports Jedi family. May the sports be with you, ladies and gentlemen. May the Knicks be with you first and foremost. And we'll see you a little. Peace out. Happy holidays.